Good day, everyone. This is Martha Childress, and welcome to the Natural Choice Network, a local platform and meeting place where sustainable living comes live. NaturalChoice.net and the Natural Choice Network directories have many great ways for a conscious community to connect, stay up to date on green resources, natural health, natural food, and mind spirit. And you can also stay connected right here with me every Tuesday at 12:30 on Alternative Talk 1150. Well, my guest and friend Christopher Timms is back with me today to continue our discussion on what's at stake for convenience sake. And for those who missed part one of our conversation, Christopher Timms is a lifelong scholar and mystic. We could also call him a renegade mystic, with an interesting perspective on the latest technologies which have evolved for our so-called convenience and the few players who basically control them. And what is the truer cost and the danger of what we're ultimately giving away to save a few moments of time or even just a few dollars? Each little bit tends to add up and tip the scales, doesn't it? And welcome to the show, Christopher.
Well, thank you very much, Martha. It's nice to be back with you again. And boy, just since last time we talked, all kinds of new expose and juicy stuff has come up about all this. It's just been really getting deep.
And the stocks are starting to, you know, well, they're getting a little bit more volatile too, I'm noticing.
Oh, sure. You know, and you have the markets reflecting the emotions of things, and you have the 14 major executives, along with some very high-ranking tech executives out of Google, walking right out of their non-disclosure agreements, you know, which is, those are their big company penalties for all that, you know.
Oh yeah.
And they walk away because they said they can't do what's happening in good conscience. They can't compromise a security and a integrity vow to this country as they're walking into the Chinese levels of infiltration and surveillance. And it's really interesting because it's not, of course, being covered the way that it should be covered, because these are huge spiritual issues, not just business issues. It's not just about stock values, dollars and cents, and all of that. These are metaphors talking to us about things that are happening as a result of our transformation as a species.
Well, and you have such an interesting perspective, you know, on the way that the outside world outpictures kind of like the inner journey as well, and the metaphors that are going on there. And so just this kind of tipping of the scales that's starting to happen, I think that's, you know, that's really good news for all of us.
It is. It is. And what happens?
And a wake up, yeah.
It's a big wake up, and it's a big wake up / watch the world picture, because what happens historically, and you can go all the way back, because we have accurate records back into the time of early Rome, right?
Yeah, and that's where you have such in-depth knowledge as an ancient scholar, and that's why I love your perspective on this.
That's great. Thank you. And watching this it unfold in our modern era really waves all kinds of red flags at me, because probably half a dozen times in major world history, what happens when the controllers, the governments, the big corporations, whether it's in the ancient world or in the modern world, whenever their view and their authority as an exclusive consensus controlling kind of information dispensary, whenever that's challenged, then they create wars. They create military conflict, because that immediately takes everybody's attention away from the civil liberties that are being dissolved, you know, and the real beauty and the real opportunity that all this technology brings us is kind of wiped away. And I'm not a pessimist by any means, and you know that. And yet, at the same time, I'm also quite the realist, and in that I
these are big ships that have to aren't going to be able to turn around very quickly.
Right, and because history, everyone, loads itself within our own subconscious mind and tends to cascade down like a rainfall into the conscious mind, history tends to repeat itself unless we become really sovereign, really awake, and realize, no, don't have to do this again. Just because the Romans did it, just because the Germans did it, just because it happened in Russia this way, doesn't mean that it has to happen here this way now. And
that's that entropy and, the
emergence.
Yeah. And I think as more and more people are paying attention, like you say, some of these people are in good conscience, kind of saying, well, I can't be a part of it. And I can't be a part of repeating history. There's more, some personal responsibility starting to model. And to me, that's where the good sign is.
It is. It is very, very much.
Yeah.
And I've been speaking at every opportunity about how exciting it would be if a U.S.-Canadian-based kind of joint effort was started to develop a new platform. Instead of Google, let's start a new browser.
Yeah,
that's right. Let's start something new that isn't controlled by the multinational corporations already. It isn't corrupted already from within.
And let's go back and talk about kind of that, the theme of the show again, too, about what's at stake for convenience sake, because I think there's some really good examples to talk about what has been happening with Google as it's become more monetized. And I know just even in the last year, it's just in my personal experience, too, having a print directory and a directory that's online, our standings have been, in the last year or so, degrading a lot because they do not like directories. They do not want people to find places where they can find a lot of information
without
being able to follow it. And so, the risk of, that puts us in a tough situation because, this whole platform is in order to get, the right information out to people to make the right choices and, but not doing it with all these, pop-ups. But, if you're looking for something, this is the type of things you're looking for and natural and sustainable. And if a lot of these small companies that we represent and that you can find through our directory, if they were left to their own devices, their standings would be really, they need a full-time, full-paid media expert in order to have the algorithms to be on page one now that it's monetized. So as they kind of lower, the visibility of directories, it just lowers the visibility of all these small people that are doing all these great things and makes it harder for us to get that information out. So we're having to change our approach. And in 2019, we're doing what we call web companions so we can broaden our exposure and to draw more people towards our URL so that they'll find us that way as Google makes it harder for people to find directories because they want to know all of your habits and they want to know what you're doing. And they're only doing that to monetize it. And so I think I kind of, that's just an example of what's at stake. There is a lot of good information being able to get to you from the people that aren't, the ones that are in the top tier that have a lot of money to make sure their message gets heard first.
That's right. And unfortunately, that message is not just a political message. It's an alternative health message. It's a nutrition, diet, exercise message. It's a supplement message. All of these things are subject to the shadow banning and filtering that's going on now to prioritize the
clean energy.
The
people that want to keep us on oil and keep us in having the GMOs, everything that's controlled by these large multinationalists that we want to have alternatives for. We'll lose a way to find those.
That's right. And it's such a cold and callous just it's unconscionable, really. You know, you keep information away from people, you know, just so you can monetize the other side of the equation. You keep them away from alternative health, you know, what you could do aside from chemotherapy, aside from radiation.
Mm-hmm.
What are the actual facts about any of that? And I do some test searching every couple days on things, and it's becoming more and more filtered through a variety of different topics, just as you're saying, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about political talk, everybody. Political talk's about 10% of it, really.
Yeah.
The other stuff is what's huge, because when does it become filtered into your spiritual information?
Yeah.
When does that become, that's not approved material? You know, you're challenging the view of this or that or the other thing, or you're speaking out, you know, in another direction from our consensus view.
Well, you know, and that goes back to, you know, when, you know, the old propaganda machines, you know, during the wars and everything, when you couldn't really trust the outlets where you could get, you know, disseminated information. That's when the little printed, you know, there was a little underground printer, and they were going out and they were like handing things out, you know. So as a lot of print has disappeared and everything is electronic, it's able to be controlled with one little switch, and there's no one to really know what's going on behind the scenes.
That's right.
So it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, just these little, you know, that print is and can, and, you know, is probably going to become really vital again in smaller segments and especially in different local applications.
Think of the metaphor of things that are right brain happening first before left brain.
Mm-hmm.
Music.
Yep.
Remember how the whole technology moved from analog to digital?
Yep.
And then people are going, well, wait a minute, this is a mess. This isn't really the full sound that I want. Oh, my gosh. You know, they were filtering themselves, and they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now there's a huge movement back into vinyl,
mm-hmm.
right? Back into the analog recording systems of music, and people are appreciating that whole technology again in a different way. And that's where we have to be able to go with our information systems all the way across the board, not just with music, but we have to be able to look back. Okay, digital information systems are wonderful. It's very convenient, really good to look online for stuff. But boy, you know, I've probably got 1,000 books in my library, and mm-hmm. I'm still buying more books every month.
Well, in art and photography, and I mean, with what you can do digitally, it's not like, yeah, I mean, you could, anything can be created, and you look at it and it's going to look real now.
Right.
And so there becomes that little, you know, that little bit of mistrust. And so I think that's where a lot of person to person, in person, and there again, too, kind of the metaphor is getting back to the local rag. And I know, especially with spiritual teaching, and I know this is something you've talked about, and I've heard this from a lot of some of the spiritual teacher. They wound up going so online. They're wanting to get out and going back to their kind of town hall, their workshops, getting out in the community.
Absolutely.
Again as well. And I think that's just vitally important. And, you know, there's an energetic exchange that goes on there, too.
It is. That's what it really will be about now. The way to combat all of this is not to find a war and fight it, but to make other choices.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's, of course, as you know, what I'm going to be doing is more live and in-person events, as well as my online presence. And
which is a supplement, you know. I mean, I love the technology as a wonderful tool, you know, depending on how it's used. But when everyone's using the same tool and the other tools have become obsolete, and the one tool that's left is in the control of very few, that's when we've got a problem.
Right. That's right. And
that's where we kind of, you know, that's our choice, you know. And that's where, as people are more aware of this issue, That's our way of getting our sovereignty back. And let's talk about sovereignty in itself, because that's really what's ultimately at risk.
That is what's at risk here. And I believe in the last episode that we shared, I began to speak about self-censorship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens, everyone. Your big screen TV, your computer screen, your cell phone, they all oscillate at a specific frequency that entrains you and hooks you in. That's why you can say to yourself, oh, I'm just going to sit down and see what's on Facebook just for a second, and then I'm going to go. And 45 minutes go by, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, my God, what just happened? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And you don't really even remember anything that you were looking at.
Yeah.
But you know that you were there. Happens to people all the time. And it's because of these frequencies. So that's another reason why it's hugely important, you know, in claiming our sovereignty and into developing our own individual presence in life to complement the time with our technology, with time away from the technology, completely in nature.
Yes.
You know, it's been very bizarre to watch all this develop, Martha, and I'm sure you can agree to this, is that now you walk on the beach and probably 3/4, if not more, of the people that are walking on the beach have their cell phone in their hand, and they're not even looking at the ocean or the sand or the amazing things that are happening right in the shallows.
Yeah.
They're right there. They're on the cell phone, you know.
Yeah, or walking across the street, not even looking to see where the cars are.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that one.
I had somebody almost hit me today in a truck that was texting while they were turning right as I was crossing the street on my bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it just shows you the distraction. People, you know, they're so distracted and so entrained on their technical devices, they really do lose any kind of grounded perspective, you know, mm-hmm. in the natural world, which is like there's somebody walking across the street in the front of me. I shouldn't be doing this.
Right, and it's there's the mass consciousness that says, well, everybody's doing it, and so because everybody's addicted to it, doesn't make it right. It's like everybody's addicted to sugar, but that doesn't make that a good thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. And as they say, more people are claiming it, and it is good to hear even more public people or celebrities or whatnot, anyone that kind of happens to mention it, but they're going on technology diets now, you know, that's becoming a catchphrase, and, you know, people are saying, yeah, just put, you know, they're starting to set the phone down, and it's nice to hear that conversation being introduced, like I say, not just going back to vinyl, but going on a technology diet.
Yeah, because it's the way it's all engineered, everyone, with Amazon and Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of this, is that the technology uses you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use the technology. See, as soon as you develop the need to find out what's in your inbox, what's on Facebook, who's on Twitter, what's this new message that just came in, as soon as that hooks you and you have to participate in that, then there's where all the advertisements in the margins, you know, of your field when you're scrolling, all these things are subliminal, and as well as conscious, and they load right in.
And if you like this, you'll like that. You know, this is this string of impulse items.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. So one of the things that it has been increasingly concerning to me is again that one topic of self-censorship. And over the course of, I guess, a couple of years now at this gym, our Planet Fitness, where we go, and there's a whole cross section of all kinds of different people there, and as people have gotten to know me, they'll talk to me, you know, about different issues. I've turned a number of men on to ways to help prostate stuff and herbs for hormone balance and strengthening the body and all of that. And then we get into social commentary and all vaccinations, GMO stuff, all of this stuff. And it's really a shame when someone who feels differently than you do about an issue feels like they can't open their mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and there was
the political correctness is a real outpicturing of that, too. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Being shamed. It's like,
there was a gentleman that disagreed with me because none of my kids are vaccinated. None of my grandchildren are vaccinated. You know all that, right? But he very much was into getting his flu shot every year and everything that he needed to get and, you know, all of it. But yet he avoided me. And I don't mean just I don't talk about vaccines every day, but he just avoided me at the gym. Yeah. He would just turn the other direction if I was moving into a different area. You know, from where I was coming to an area where he was, we turned the other way. And finally, being who I am, you know, I noticed this pattern, and I wandered into him, and I just told him it's always nice to see him at the gym. It's always nice to see you. Hope you're doing well. You know, it's like all of a sudden he didn't know what to do. You know, just being nice, you see, and that's all a concoction of the pressures of society, and it's really not healthy for us to be that way.
Well, exactly, and I think that's where I heard the term heart-centered sovereignty, and I loved that perspective because, you know, when we're talking about sovereignty, it's not talking about being separate. It's talking about, you know, having the right to be who you are and acknowledging the rights of everybody else. I mean, you know, it's sovereign yet equal. And, you know, that's a good example of where, you know, how if we're losing our sovereignty, if you're being pressured to be like someone else or to get jousted because you don't have, you know, the same feelings or even just to feel uncomfortable. You know, if there's heart-centered sovereignty, then you always would have an open space or an open mind for, you know, other people's beliefs and vice versa, and that would take the angst out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just feeling what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of a heart-centered sovereignty, you know, maybe that...
That's
a nice thing to put, you know, just like capitalism was okay because there was a lot of... collaboration and giving back in the original definitions. And, you know, when capitalism was first kind of described, but when it became predatory, you know, that took on a whole nother dynamic, and being sovereign or, you know, separate is and separate and equal, you can be harmonious. I mean, that this kind of was losing that as well too. So I think bringing the word, you know, heart-centered before that, kind of reminds people of, you know, wow, this is a good space where it's okay with everyone. And that's what the United States was basically founded on, right? Our right to, you know, do everything and to respect what else other people do.
That's right. And so we're looking at that heart-centered sense of sovereignty and the autonomy that goes with it. And that, you know, that is a very nice phrase because it speaks to me the common sense of just growing up as an individual, you know, spiritually and socially, where you are claiming your sacredness, mm-hmm. claiming your unique gift mm-hmm. that you are to the world, and that it's up to you to define that, to express that, and that's your... That, I mean, if people want to talk about life in terms of missions and purposes, then that's what it is.
Well, and for ourselves, too. I mean, like you were saying, these reflection of our inner censor. Well, if we, you know, had a more heart-centered way of looking at our own selves, you know, that's a place to start, too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's shifting that point of perception away from the mind and its self-incrimination, you know, into the acceptance and the appreciation of all of the diversity in our existence, as well as ourselves. You know, the heart doesn't see with the discernment of the mind. The mind judges and assesses and administrates. That's what it's for, the conscious mind. And the heart sees with equal vision. It doesn't discern good, evil, vanilla or chocolate or sweet or sour. It doesn't do any of that. It sees all as being currents within a unified stream or field of energy. And that's what it really reminds us of. So we get to see that, experience that connectedness through that heart-based life while we use the mind to administer the affairs. And the two have a beautiful marriage, not a war. And this is unfortunately kind of the journey that we have to take now, is from the mind to the heart.
Yep, absolutely. And believe it or not, we're at the end of our half hour again here, Christopher.
Oh, my goodness, Martha. I thought I was just getting warmed up.
I know. Like I say, you're going to have your own show here.
I will. Yes, we will.
So where can people find you? What's your website?
It's your favorite website, of course, which is www.christophertims.com. And that's Tims with T-I-M-S, one M.
Yeah.
Often people misspell it.
Yeah. And thanks so much for joining us. I'm sorry we had to have such a hard close. We'll have to have you on again. It's so easy to talk to you. And before we go, just a reminder that this Saturday is the Emerald Spiral Fall Expo. That's this Saturday, September 22nd, and there will be a host of exhibitors and speakers on mind, body, and spirit from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kent Commons. Admission is free, and so is parking, so be sure and get there. And thanks to all of our listeners for choosing to join in, too. As you know, our choices create our experiences, and collectively our experiences create our community. So thank you for making the natural choice.